We're in the prison epistles. And we're in that passage of scripture that is a lot of times ignored and many times debated, because there's something about this passage. And I think the problem is that we look at it through fleshly eyes, because it is not something completely different from what the Word of God has taught throughout. Here's what we need to understand. This is an important issue. If it wasn't important, Paul would not have mentioned it twice. Once in Ephesians 5, the other time in Galatians, or here in Colossians, the third chapter. And when you read both of them, he almost uses the same language. It's talking about submission. Now, here's the thing we need to understand. When God created the heavens and the earth, when Genesis says, in the beginning, and then they begin to tell you what happened in the beginning, the one thing we forget sometimes is God had a plan. And his plan was, if you will listen to me, if you will obey me, if you will put into practice my words, your life will be completely different. You know, you will on earth suffer hardships. You will have things that break your heart. You'll have things that disappoint you. But you'll go through it, and every, I call them adventures you have in life, you become stronger. And if you think about it, I think everyone would admit that even though the conflicts they went through, they wouldn't want to go through again, their life is closer to the Lord, they are stronger in the Lord, and they're better prepared for the future. But a problem happened. In the beginning, pride showed up. And pride said, after we have eaten the fruit off of a million trees, God is holding out on us. He is not giving something that we're owed, as if God owes us anything. And they did exactly what God told them not to do. And as a result, sin came in. And as a result, at the head of every sin committed by man is pride, because we feel like we're owed, when in reality, we're not owed anything. We lived at the hand and the pleasure of our Lord Jesus Christ. I used to have a friend that never had a job, really. His father was very wealthy, and so when his dad died, he became very wealthy. And as any wealthy person can, the governor, for the right kind of donation, will put you on some type of committee that you like. And his favorite saying was, I serve at the pleasure of the governor. And I used to get so tired of it. We'd be in a group of people, and we'd introduce ourselves, and they would say, hey, what do you do? I'd just turn around and walk off. But in reality, you and I live at the pleasure of our God. Have you ever thought about that? The favor of God is on us every morning when we wake up and can open our eyes, and we're in the same place we were when we went to bed. God has given us a clean piece of paper to write that day's history on. And the one thing I like to remind you of, for the worst day in your life, it doesn't mark your life forever. Okay? Now, I hope I've got your wondering up. And this time of year, I don't know what y'all do, but I take a kind of an account. My birthday is next month. Me and George Washington, Abe Lincoln, all of us guys, we were born in February. That's special month. And I always take stock of my life. And I don't usually go away happy, because I take stock of my life via the Word of God. As it teaches, I think to myself, honestly, has that been me? Has that been the first thing that I relate to? Is that my ultimate thing that I aspire to when something comes up? And I make notes in Scripture just to remind myself that God has a plan for my life. He has a way of life, because He is the way. He has the truth and the life. And so if we follow the way and the truth and life, then our paths are going to be much better. I'm talking this morning about take time to remember. And then we're going to go through some things, and then I'll tell you what we need to remember, okay? We need to remember who we are. Now, I'm coming from the third chapter of Colossians, and this is verse 12a. As we remember who we are, we need to remember, therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved. It is amazing how we fight what Scripture says. According to Scripture, if you are a child of God, you are a saint of God. But the problem, the picture's been muddied, because certain organizations have anointed so-and-so to be this special saint. But see, we need to understand how God looks at us. We are saints of God, not because of our actions, not because we're that great, but the blood of Jesus has cleansed us. He has taken our sin and our old life, and He's thrown it in the sea of forgetfulness, and He has inputted in our life His Spirit. So we are saints of God. We are children of God. We are holy and dearly loved. If you will remember that passage, the next time Satan whispers in your ear that you're a nobody, or you just don't qualify for God, if you'll read just that one little portion to the one who's making your life miserable, you'll find out who you are. Secondly, we need to remember there's a difference in our old self. Okay? What is that difference, that old difference? That's found in Colossians 3, 9 through 10. Talking about, don't lie to each other, since you have taken off your old self and its practices. Hold that right there, Jane. Sometimes when we read that, do not lie, we kind of jump over that because we say we never lie. Let me ask you, that person that you don't particularly like invited you to their house. Did you say, you know, I'd love to go, but I've got another obligation at the same time? Have you ever said that? See, I used to work for a finance company, and I would knock on somebody's door, and they knew why I was there. And the little boy would always come to the door, and I would say, is your mama home? And he'd say, no. I said, go ask your mama where she's at. And the little boy would turn around, run down the hall, and he'd come back and say, mama just said she's not home. Somebody calls you on the phone. Are you busy? You see, we have made a designation of a white lie, which is okay. That's what everybody does. And if everybody does it, it's okay, because we voted white lie, okay. That passed. And then we have the bad lies. You remember how we're looking at ourselves from God? Holy, dearly beloved. We need to understand how He's looking at what we say. And folks, a lie is a lie. And if we tell even the white lie, we're putting ourselves in issues. It will become easy to ask. Now, the only question I don't answer at my house is if my wife says, "Does this dress make me look fat?" I've learned after 57 years to go deaf, dumb, and blind at that particular moment. Okay? Guys, take note. Here's what it says. Don't lie to each other. Why? Because you've taken off your old self. Understand, Paul uses the allusion or allegory of clothing. He says that when we become saved, we take off the old self, and he's got a whole list of stuff that is in that old self related at clothing. Well, you know, if you take off something, you got to put something on. And so he's saying, listen, don't even slip down to that white lie thought since you have taken off your old self and its practice, because that's your practice. All right, let's go on. And have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge in the image of its creator. Hold that right there. That new self is constantly going under, you might say, a revolution. We are constantly, as we become more familiar with who our Creator is, if we know Him better, as we are in the Word and as we practice the Word, we are being renewed day by day. Isn't it amazing how you can be down and you can pick up the Bible and maybe go to your favorite passage of Scripture, or just a passage of Scripture pops in there? And all of a sudden, when you read that, it's like feeding yourself. You get a new image. You get to be really feeling good. So you're being renewed in what? The knowledge of the image of its creator. What else does it say? Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly beloved, let's finish that thought. Clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Let's sit there a minute. Would not that make a difference in your life and the life of every Christian if we simply put on this compassion? Compassion for people. Now, compassion doesn't have to be for someone who has had a tragic issue in their life. It can be compassion for someone who is dealing with issues and fighting and struggling and rejecting God as the answer. Does our heart go out to them? Do we want to come alongside them? That's the compassion. Kindness. Listen. It's an old saying, kindness does not cost you anything. I mean, it costs you nothing. You don't lose anything when you simply have a kind spirit. When you walk in humility, how do we walk in humility? The way I do it is I remember what I was, and then I remember that Jesus loved me enough that regardless of what I was, He called me to you. So all we need to realize that we have nothing to brag on. The Scripture says to us, what is it that we have that God didn't give us? And the answer is absolutely nothing. From being formed in our mother's womb to our exit into the heavens when we die, we have been given our life. You say, well, I work for everything I got. Who gave you that job? Who blessed you with health and strength? It all goes back that God is the great provider. And so what do we have to brag about? Gentleness. These last two, I'll be honest with you, these were I work on. Gentleness and patience. And see, I get smart sometime and I'll say, I don't pray for patience. And the reason is, in Romans 5, it says, you go through tribulation, and then you have patience. I'd kind of like to skip over the tribulation and go straight to patience. But God doesn't work that way. And God doesn't work here in my prayer. He is going to mold me and make. Have you ever watched somebody make something with clay? You know, they got that paddle wheel, and that stuff is just spinning, and they're seeing things that I can't see, and they're constantly molding, and every once in a while they'll look at it, and they'll tear a little bit of that clay off and start all over again. You know, the Bible refers to we are the clay. He is the master potter. We need to know that what we go through, everything we go through, no matter what we go through, is simply the hands of the master potter molding us and making us into his image. So these are the things that we need to put on. We need to also remember what attitude we need to have. Remember, I told you attitude is altitude. I've already heard people today, they're going to have a miserable day. You know why? I hate winter. You know, it's going to be here whether you hate it or not. And if you're cold, put on some clothes, right? And don't look at the person that's not as cold as you are. That is setting yourself. And I guarantee when you start your day with a negative thought or negative words, nothing good is going to happen to you that day. It's just going to get worse and worse and worse. Why? Because you're looking at a glass of water half full all day long. Let's talk about our attitude. Verse 13 and 14. Bear with each other and forgive one another. Hard, isn't it? I mean, let's be honest. Sometimes we look at this and I can tell, y'all sitting there saying, I got this. I don't know what he's preaching for. I got this. Well, I don't have this. I have to practice. I have to pray. I have to put on the humility. I need to put on all those clothes so that I can bear with each other. And y'all need to put them on because y'all have to bear with me. And if you don't put them on, you're in trouble. We need to bear with others, forgive one another. And if you have a grievance against someone, what do? Well, here's what you do. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. Let those words hit you. I've had people stand and stare at me and say, I will not forgive. They must have lived a better life than I lived because I have that underlying for me. And every time I get to that point that I say that's something that is unforgivable, my life comes up just like a reality show. You see, folks, if we live remembering what the Lord forgave us for, everything I've just read to you will give you a different attitude. But I got to move along. What is our call? Verse 15 simply has a picture of our call. Let's look at that. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. See, again, I'm y'all are getting a message that I have needed. So maybe if you need it. Let the peace of Christ rule in your heart. You don't know what I'm going through, Pastor. You don't know what I have gone through. Here's the thing. If God is truly alive, if God knows everything and can be everywhere, if God gives out good to his children and turns even what we call bad things into good things, and if God is sovereign, why don't we have peace? Why? And the issue is what we really started with. Who are we? What is our clothing? And if these things are alive and in our mind, and when things happen to us, we default into these things, we'll walk around with the peace of Christ. It'll rule in our heart. Since as members of one body, you are called to peace. Work not the peace that the world gives, but peace in conflict, peace in tragedy. Why? Because God is sovereign. He loves his children, and he will show himself powerful and wise why he's given you the best, even when we don't think it's the best. All right, let's skip on down to 5, Gene. We're ready to look at what I was talking about, okay? In Colossians 3, verse 18 through 21, here's what I said was the most debated statement that you could have. It's also we make more jokes out of this statement, but it's a very serious thing because it talks about what God did in creation. You ready? Let's see number 5, verse 18 through 21. Wives, submit yourselves to your husband as is fitting in the Lord. All right, let's go. Husbands, love your wives and do not be harsh with them. We'll stop right there. The most precious of God's creation was the family. You see, it was after he made Eve and Adam had a helpmate that it was very good in creation. And God set up a creation. I as a man and a husband and a father, a great-grandfather and grandfather, I am accountable to my God, first and foremost. He holds me accountable how I relate to my wife and my children. Down, further down, it says, don't aggravate your children. Don't be harsh with them. We are to love our wives. In Ephesians, in the 5th chapter, it says, love your wife, and she is to respect you. Now, I've had a lot of men say, how come them, she's not told that she has to love me, she has to respect me? I think I can speak for most men, if you'll think about it. I would really rather my wife first respect me as a person, because I know that respect will lead to love, because I'm being respectful in her eyes to her. And I am loving her, not with that friendship love, and not with that good old buddy love. And it's not that I love my cat and I love my wife. That's not the kind of love I'm talking about. I'm talking about chapter 13 in 1 Corinthians, the agape love of God. And when you read that definition, men, that's how you love your wife. And it doesn't matter if she brings up the past. It doesn't matter what she does. This doesn't relate and wipe out your responsibility. Because here's how we live. If somebody says, why did you do that? The first thing people say is because they did that, right? Listen, let's be honest, guys. We've been dishonest with Scripture and who we are too long. We're letting the world hold the conversation. We're letting the world lead us. We're not enlightening the world. The world is corrupting the church today. And if you don't believe that, turn on your television to Christian TV and listen to the garbage that's being taught out there. The world has come in. We have not gone out. So guys, it doesn't matter what your, you know, in marriage counseling, and we got our counselor sitting over there, they'll verify this. When you first start having your meetings, a fight begins when people have gone to counseling. Because they say, well, we're here because she does that. And then she says, we're here because he does that. And then they get in a fight. No, I didn't. Yes, you did. No, you didn't. Yes, I did. And it just becomes a mess. I've always wanted to have a pistol in my office so I can just kind of shoot up in there and get everybody's attention. Because it breaks loose. What somebody else does not remove you from doing what God has told you to do. When it says, husbands, love your wives, it's in what it means. Wives, submit to your husbands. Why? Because the husband is the priest of the home. That doesn't mean you have to go through your husband to get to God. It means the husband is responsibility for the spiritual health of a family. That's his job. And a wife doesn't, to submit doesn't mean you're lesser of a person. It doesn't mean you have to call him master. It doesn't mean that you're just not as good as him. It simply means that that husband is to lead his family. And I don't know of a husband who is successful leading his husband, the family, that doesn't listen to his wife as they walk in earth and as they make decisions. But men, it's got to fall on us to lead our families, and that means that final decision. You know, we got a lot of mamby-pamby men out there that are leading their homes by letting their wife lead them. And every wife I've ever talked to who didn't have a strong leader for her husband said this, "Pastor, I wish my husband would lead me. I wish my husband would take these hard things off of me." God's idea is this. As God speaks to me and he is my authority, my wife submits as I submit to God, and men, you wind up in a mutual submitting situation. You are giving yourself. And the reason I think the divorce rate in the world and in the religious community right now is pushing about 60%. Even, you know, at one time the church had a very low, but since the world's creeped in, the church is just like the world. They got just as bad of families as the world's got. And they're getting divorced. And they're trying to find happiness carrying luggage from the first marriage into the second marriage, and they realize the man or wife you marry the second or third time is going to wind up acting and looking like the one you married at first. That's a fact, guys. So what this does, it should make us in this new, fresh year. What is this? The seventh. We haven't gone too far in this. To begin to remember, if God said it, it had to be right. And each of us are accountable before God. And just because somebody does something that's not right doesn't remove us from the responsibility of us doing right. Have you ever been around that person that's just happy all the time? And you wake up grumbly, and that's the first person you see. Doesn't that change your attitude? It's like, wow, things aren't as bad as they are. That's why in the body of Christ, we are all mutually to submit to one another. We're to walk with each other. We are to forgive each other. We're to love each other. We're to realize every person was created in the image of God. And regardless of their place in life, they are the apple of God's eye. And he loves them. And we, in this body, the power of the church, is how we mutually lift each other up. Because I'm going to tell you the truth. Sometimes I jokingly will say to Jerry, "Why'd I have to go in there on Tuesday?" And he'll say, "Because you're going to preach." It's like, okay. Because I'll be honest with you, I'm just like you. I usually get up 4:30, but there's times I like to pull a cover over my head, especially in the wintertime, cover up this baldness, get warm, and just snuggle in. But you know what? I know there are people that are waiting. There are people that depend on me. Even when I'm home and off, I have a wife that depends on me. If we will come down off of our high horse in 2025, if we will get off of the throne in our lives and allow God to occupy that spot, and what he said, we believe it and we do it whether we understand or not. Now, you may say that's hard, but I'm looking at a bunch of parents. How many times have you said those very words to your children when you tell them what to do and they say, why? What's the answer? Because I told you to. You got a Father in heaven that's got that same answer. Why am I forgiving? Why am I loving when other people aren't? Because your daddy said you have to. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the challenge. Thank you, Father, for the peace we have. Thank you for the strength that you give us to be what you called us to be. This morning, I pray that you have opened hearts. Because, Lord, we got a long year ahead of us, and we don't know what's going to come into that life, but you do. And so, Lord, as you lead us this morning in love by convicting the sin in our life, by convicting us of failures to follow you, may you lead it that same way to repentance and prayer, that God may gather you as a hen gathers her biddies. You rest under his mighty wings, and then you're sent out into the world to be that salt and that light. Lord, let's take care of our business today, that our lives would bring you honor, glory, and praise, not just this year, but every day you give us to live. In Jesus' name, amen.